Mates who met after years of doing their own thing, and they were trying to decide if they were old or still young or what. So they was walking along, and one guy says, "Well, it is. Is today Wednesday?" And the other guy says, "You know what? I think it is Thursday." And then the other one says, "Yeah, I'm thirsty. Let's go get a drink." So they knew that they were getting old because they couldn't hear. So that's why I guess everything's so loud around here.
Okay. Anyway, I'd like to welcome Mitch and Donna Pomeranz. You know, as we all know, Mitch is the president of the American Council of the Blind and a tremendous supporter of the Randolph Shepherd. So thank you for being here, Mitch. And we also want to introduce and welcome Jeff Tom, another great supporter of our organization. And also Tony Candela, is he here now?
Not yet.
Not yet, okay. Tony Candela is going to be here. And we also would like to welcome our special guest of honor, Deb Meyer, our new program manager. So. Deb, you're the reason why we have such a great turnout here today, by the way. So you're the star.
No pressure on that.
Let's see, what else do we need to do? Also, in this Southern California area, we invited a number of vendors. We sent out an email to a lot of them. And Harry Bagan would have been here today, but his wife's birthday is today, so they had other plans. However, Jack Bedekian is here with his wife, and Jack is the local delegate in this area, so we appreciate Jack being here. And also, another delegate here is Juan Aguilar, and we welcome Juan. And there's a number of Avengers out here, but we'll go around the table and introduce everybody.
Okay, so you want me to do that?
Yeah, go ahead and do that.
Okay. I don't have a...
I know, you guys have to speak up.
I don't have a roving microphone, so I'm going to walk around each table, and maybe you can say who you are and what location you have or where you're from. Okay, hold on.
Okay. Speak up loud.
Michael Asker. I come from corporate prison.
They let you out of prison?
I like your striped shirt. And I've been at it for 22 years, almost 22 years, December 1st.
I got you, Michael.
Okay.
I'm there enjoying myself. And I brought my best friend.
All right.
And to the left of the other half is
Tom Linker, Monterey.
And to the left of Tom is Ozzy Bedekian, Jack.
Better half.
This is Jack Bedekian at a box office. I've been banned up with 1 year.
Next
to Jack Brown is
Andy Brown.
Yay! Yay, Mr. Brown.
Is Sandy Brown.
Dan Kaiser from Sacramento. I was a vendor. I had 5 locations for 7 years at the DEP. Now I'm the Director of Government Affairs at the DEP.
Yay!
Anthony, I've got his name, my wife, Marie, and
one of my team members, Anna, and our newest team member, 9 months old, our son, Aiden.
Yay, Aiden! Okay, and then we're going to start over here at a really important table. And we have...
Big Pomerantz, I'm a vendor's friend, and... Donna is here, but she just stepped out to look for our state president who is late for an important date, right here.
And Mitch is also president of ACB. And then Susan Wright, and Mitch is.
It's Tony Barra. I'm a member of the technical chapter at the
Great. Thanks for joining us. Okay, and then we have over here.
And a very good friend to RSVC. He and Artist had a fight. No.
And next to Kevin is...
Who's that? Who? Who? Joni.
Yeah. And where's Paul? Did you all hear that?
No.
She has at the, where did she put the EDB building? EDB building in Sacramento. And, oh, dry sand. And she shares the education committee that she can do. Okay, over here, we have a guest.
My name is Richard Breda. I'm with Wine Club Services, and I'm the guy who will be talking to you about our new employment program with the EDB in a minute.
And Deb Meyer, we're going to introduce her later.
We get to hear about our new beginning here. Yeah.
And then to the left of Deb is Deb Delaney from downtown Montgomery, U.S. Courthouse, Sandy Delaney. And next to Sandy is...
My name is Naresh Bulani, and I'm from the Santa Clarita Post Office.
Yay, Naresh. And who's this guy?
This is Roy Harbin. I'm from Oakland, California.
Director. And then we have David Hanlon, who's our MC. He has a seat store at the Navy Base in San Diego. Next to David, up there, is Senator Hatch. And our most distinguished guest is this guy.
Yay, Donna. From something or
Briggs, West LA Federal Building.
John Briggs, West LA Federal Building. And next to John is...
Dave Zelitson, LA Traffic Court. Such notables as Paris Hilton.
Did y'all get that? Dave Zelitson from L.A. Traffic Court, who has served such notables as Paris Hilton. And to the left of David is...
Daniel Seriano.
Daniel Seriano, who is a guest of our CVPC delegate from, I think it's District 9, if they haven't changed it. Is it District 9? District 9. Hold on.
And this is Juan Aguilar. I have a post office federal cafeteria in Santa Ana.
Welcome, Juan. Okay, here we go. So, continuing, David.
Put on the next agenda. Yeah, our next speaker would be Richard Reuter. He called me, actually he was supposed to speak last October. And Richard is a rehab counselor for Blind Field Services. And he's very much involved with young people. And he developed a program for young people to try out different occupational endeavors, including BEP. And as a matter of fact, you won an award for doing that, I believe, last year, didn't you, Richard?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so I'd like to introduce you to Richard. He wants to tell us all about this program for about 5 or 6 minutes. So here you go, Rich.
Thank you, David.
Okay.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, David. Thank you, RSVC, for inviting me. Can you all hear me in the back? In the front? Okay. In fairness, actually, I executed the program. Tony Candela was the one who brought the idea. I said, Richard, you're not busy enough doing your transition outreach, so let's start a youth employment program, which I will spend the next 4.5 minutes explaining to you and hopefully getting your support. And we have some people out there in the audience, like the esteemed Joni Patchy, who's been a big supporter of the program. The numbers 16, 13, and 18 are important numbers, totaling 47. With your combined support, that's the number of students we've gotten first ever summer work experience job since 2006. So you guys should be proud of yourselves for that. And I'm hoping to double that number, if not triple that number, over the course of the next couple of summers. The BEP-YEP program is not a popsicle stick, BEPYEP. Some people go, what is BEPYEP? BEPYEP is the Business Enterprise Program, youth employment program that we initiated in the summer of 2006 with community agencies from Sacramento down to Los Angeles, serving the blind, as well as BEP vendors around the state. And some of you know about this. The essential part of the program is to provide a 5-week summer work experience for high school age blind students who, for the first time, will go to work and get a work experience by adult vendors, by adult blind people who are working successfully. The goal of the program isn't so much to recruit young students to become BEP vendors, but if it's a side effect, no problem. And I think some of you have seen that happen. Our whole goal is to get students work experience because they've never had work experience before, and when their sighted peers are getting work at Magic Mountain or McDonald's serving food in the summer, they should be provided the same amount of work experience as their sighted peers. So with the support of BEP vendors, we've been able to do that for the past 3 summers, and it's been very successful. And Joni Patchy, for example, can be a good testimony, and she even spoke about it and wrote about it in the Blind Californian, I think, 2 issues back. Is that right, Joni?
Yes.
Okay. BEP, YEP has met with its challenges. I know some of you out there who are supporting the program have also get the $500 stipend that you do when you work with adults training in the program, and that hasn't been flawless, but we have worked this year to get that process streamlined, and although the state budget was delayed, I think most of you, if not all of you, should be getting paid. If not, you can throw your tomatoes now. What's that?
Here they come.
All right. Well, talk to your counselors who refer the students to your community agencies. In Los Angeles, we're working with the Junior Blind. In Fresno, we're working with the Valley Center for the Blind. In San Francisco, we're working with the Lighthouse for the Blind. In Sacramento, we're working with the Society for the Blind. The concept is to funnel the students to one of those 4 program areas to get the student ready to work with you in the summer. We're not going to give you a student who's completely green behind the ears. We want to get them some basic O&M skills, some basic math skills, and some basic daily living skills so that they're somewhat ready for their job. They're not going to be 100%, but that's where you come in, where you can give them the other mentoring and other work employment initiatives where they want you want them to be successful on how to be at work on time, how to be punctual, and how to do several tasks on the job, whether it's running the cash register or stocking the shelves or brewing the coffee or making those mochas or whatever it is you can have them do on the job site. And time and time again, in speaking with students who come out of the summer work experience at the exit interview, they've said that they were happiest most when they got more than one job. They weren't just slicing tomatoes. They weren't just brewing coffee. They had the chance to do many things. So with your support, we're hoping to expand the program to grow the number of vendors we can have in Sacramento, in Los Angeles, but we also want to expand the concept of the BEPYEP, because now that students are working and their friends of their friends are coming to us saying, we want to get a work experience too. And just to be fair, we're not handing out jobs. We are making them interview for the job, and in many cases, interview with you in advance. So if you have some reservations about a certain person, we can say, okay, maybe this isn't a good work site for you. Maybe someone else is. And, you know, Joni will take them if no one else wants them. Right, Joni? one sec. Okay, almost done. So basically, we're hoping to expand the BEPYEP model in San Diego, Riverside, San Bernardino, and Orange County next year. Please, please, please come and see me. I'll be here through tomorrow. My email address is raruedaa@dor.ca.gov. And my telephone number is 510-622-3083. And once again, because there's another R Vareda in the state, and he won't send me my emails. So, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You ought to be proud of employing 47 youth and get it up to 100 next year. Thank you again.
Very good. Thank you, Richard. And I'd like to introduce you next to Roy Harmon. We're very much involved with the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California, not only here in California, but also nationally, too. And there have been three Vendor of the Year Award winners in California. The first one was Craig Kenna, and, of course, many of Craig from years ago. The second winner was me, and then the third winner was Roy. So we appreciate Roy for being involved with RSVC and winning the Vendor of the Year Award. So Roy would like to tell you a little bit about what we've been doing nationally and here in California.
What we have been doing, I have to summarize very quickly. We're just kind of pressed on time. We attend the legislative conventions in Washington, D.C., and participate visiting with our state senators, Senator Boxer and Senator Feinstein. We go to their office and discuss Randolph Shepherd issues and how they can help us. And it's been several years now, and they're beginning to know us. You know, and they kind of look forward to us, I hope, because they don't turn us down. We also are involved with the BEA. Some of you may know what that is. It's the Blind Entrepreneurial Alliance. It is an organization that is made up of all of the blind projects, organizations such as NFB and ACB and RSBA and et cetera, NIB is also in there. We have decided that since the Randolph Shepherd Act is in danger and we are working to not necessarily fight for its freedom from all the other handicapped persons, to try to maybe work with them a little bit and come up with a solution. And the NAB, what is it? NASAB. NCSAB, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're
having their conference in San Diego next month. I'd like to ask Deb Myers if she'd like to attend. It's what the states have to do with the blind. You know, it's what they... on the more local level in California, we have been participating again with Dan Kaiser on his legislation day of participation, visiting our local assembly people and senators, discussing Randolph Shepherd issues in the state. And it's very enlightening for us as well as them. Right now, you have a congressman in Los Angeles who is very anti-Randolph Shepherd. Congressman Miller. He is very anti our program. In fact, when he was confronted with a group from the BEA, he just stood up and says, "The blind don't need any special recognition whatsoever. They don't need the shelter of the Randolph Shepherd Act at all." But he fails to remember, and it was pointed out to him, that 70% of the blind in our country are jobless. And Randolph Shepherd has certainly provided an outlet for some of this. It's great jobs, great job opportunities. Anything else?
What's the source of his prejudice? So we can pray for him.
He needs help.
Very good.
Yes.
We don't know.
Well, he's coming up for re-election.
Yeah.
You know, and we can get his email and tell him all about it.
His first name, please.
I don't. You know what? I've forgotten. But David, I will call you. about, you know, all of the House members of Congress are up for re-election this election. So it's important that you pay attention to who's in your district and let them know that you are a Randolph Shepherd vendor and you expect them to continue to support the Randolph Shepherd Act. I forgot his. He's the only Miller in the L.A. area, David. Is it George?
George Miller?
Yeah, I think it is Miller. George.
Yeah. I think George Miller's district is out towards Riverside County.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Max, pay attention. Okay. And Juan, pay attention.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Roy. Just to give you a little brief outline, we are really pressed for time here. What Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California, as most of you know, we are affiliated with the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America. And we are involved not only nationally, but also involved locally here, too. Our future for RSVC is to put out a newsletter every quarter. And also to do some further investigation on nominee agency. CCB was able to help us get a legislative investigative council report on the possibility of having a nominee agency here in California, and that report is done. So what we want to do is to study that report much more definitively and then work with CCB on possible legislation, and of course work with CBPC and also with the vendors too. So that's kind of our goal for that endeavor. And trying to think of what else. Is there something else?
No, the vendors.
Okay.
The
vendors. Yeah. Okay. And then the last item that we'd like to point out too is the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America puts out a vendor scope. Every quarter. And fortunately, the editor, or one of the editors of the Vendor Scope, is Hazel Harmon. So I'm going to have her tell you a little bit about the Vendor Scope, and then we'll introduce you to Deb Meyer.
I think a lot of you know what the Vendor Scope is. It's a national magazine that goes out to all blind vendors nationwide quarterly. And in the magazine, we have a lot of articles that are strictly devoted to items of interest to Randolph Shepherd vendors. If you're not on the list in California, we're going to put you on the list. We do have different formats that you can sign up for. You can ask for a large print version or a most of you who have computers, and if it's text accessible, we even have a text accessible version. We have a tape version, and we also have a regular large print version that can be sent to you by email. Say it again. Yeah, do we have Braille? No. Oh, no. There is no Braille, Joni. No, RSVA does not do. Oh, artists? Artists, we don't do Braille, right?
No, there's no Braille.
There are no Braille. Because we do cassettes. You can do tape as well. If you're not familiar with the computer. A lot of you have email addresses, and that's how we contact you. If you would prefer to get it via email, let me know. But anyway, if you don't get it, you will soon be getting it. And let us know what you think. We're always looking for new authors or new articles that might be of interest to you as well. And at that, I'm going to turn it back over to David.
Hazel, talk about the articles.
Oh. Some of the articles that we have. One of the articles that has turned out to be a real big hit is written by, of all people, my husband, Roy Harmon. And he's been traveling throughout the United States because he's a roadside rest vendor. And he thought that he basically started it for the California vendors because he thought California vendors would like to see what other roadside rest vendors are doing. And in the process, he's caused a lot of interest with other vendors who have cafeterias and snack bars because they weren't quite sure what a roadside rest entailed. And now that they've become familiar, they're all enjoying the articles and calling and saying, wow, I didn't know that's what happened at a roadside rest. There are other articles, of course, about national issues. Mitch Pomerantz has graciously written several articles for our vendor scope on different issues. We have lots of different vendors. So Roy started thinking about it, and he thought, you know, we probably need to write articles about prisons because vendors don't know what type of operations are in the various prisons. So this last issue, if you didn't get it, Roy wrote an article about California prisons and what vendors are doing in the California prisons. And he's gotten a lot of calls from other states saying, wow, you know, we think we're going to go in to the prisons or, you know, we're doing this. And so it's becoming a vehicle to share information amongst vendors. And our readership is going way up on that. In fact, we're getting emails and letters from the SLA folks in various states going, we'd like to get copies. So it's turning out to be a really good vehicle for you guys to communicate about what's going on in this nation. And I think that's it.
Okay, great. All right. The future of RHVC is that we would like to grow and expand, and we would like to have more involvement. Basically, I guess it's just me and Gina and Roy and Hazel and a couple of other people, too, that are working within RHVC, but we need to have a lot more involvement. And I know some of you out there would like to be actively involved, but you just need some direction or need some advice or whatever, but I know you're willing to help us out, so we will be calling upon you, and we are going to grow and expand. In addition to the nominee agency endeavor, we also are in support of certain issues. One of the issues that we have with the Department of Defense contract, you know, here in California, and that's something that we are going to work with.
What?
Pardon?
Tony Candela.
Okay. All right. Oh,
I know.
All right. Anyway, so what I'd like to do now is introduce Tony. I think Tony wanted to say a few words about Deb, and then we'll just automatically have Deb come up, and then she'll do a little bit of biography of herself. So anyway, thank you all for coming. All right. Tony?
I'm coming.
Hello, everybody. Tony Candela, Deputy Director for Specialized Services, Department of Rehabilitation. And that's the division that holds the Randolph Shepherd program within it. And I'm happy to be here. I just got here, David, like 2 seconds ago. So I didn't even get to sit down yet. So this is a perfect time for me to stand up to introduce the new program manager for the BEP, Deborah Meyer. And I want to tell you that finding Deb was not easy. It takes a special set of skills and talent to run this program, and for us to have a confidence in who we were going to hire to be the program manager, Deb had to really be impressive, and she certainly was, and she still continues to impress. Three months now?
Four
months now. Okay. And if we don't completely drive her into exhaustion, we'll have her here for many, many, many more months. What does it take to be a good BEP program manager, especially in California, especially with the history of the program and, given our budgetary situations? Well, what does it take? It takes somebody who is quite goal-oriented, matter of fact, doggedly goal-oriented, somebody who focuses on what needs to be achieved and doesn't let anybody, including me, get in her way. And I'm very, very happy for that. And Deb comes with something that I think you all find quite refreshing. She comes with facts and figures. And she comes with definitely well-defined goals and objectives. And she reminds me of that every day when I decide I'm going to get mushy about something. So without further ado, the lady that I am very happy to have sitting alongside of me when we work this program, Ms. Deborah Meyer.
Thank you.
Yep.
I told him I needed a stand because I have to talk with my hands. I wouldn't be able to actually speak with you guys for any length of time if I couldn't move my hands at the same time. So, So good afternoon, and thank you very much for inviting me. I look forward to the opportunity of actually knowing all of you very well, and look forward to actually going to all of your facilities, which I am slowly but surely tackling as the months go on, by the way. As Mr. Harmon told me, I was supposed to tell a little about myself. So I actually was in the Air Force as an air traffic controller. Then I moved on and joined the reserves and became a flight engineer in C-141s and KC-10 air refuelers. And in the reserves, I became a state employee as an auditor for the Department of Rehabilitation in 1997. In the meantime, we were doing wars and all those good things, and I was still able to audit maybe even a blind vendor at one point in my career as an auditor there. And after that, I actually moved over to accounting consulting for Facility Technical Support Group. And in that, I would go out to not-for-profit organizations, blind vendors, anyone who had accounting budget issues. It was my job to help them financially. So we would sit down, teach individuals how to do budgets, how to properly track their expenditures, keep up on it. So obviously I'd fall right into a good spot with BEP. So in that time, I actually learned a lot about the Blind Enterprise Program, and I would give little briefings to new trainees on what to look for accountants, what they should expect in their financial statements. Are you getting all that you're getting that you're paying for an accountant? And little things like that to assist in doing the P&Ls. You know, just tips that I had learned over the years dealing with the vendors. So in the meantime, I did that, and then they called me up to active duty. So I spent a little time playing in Afghanistan and then Iraq. Yeah, just getting shot at in airplanes. But so I think I can handle BEP. Well, on that note, so this has been an interesting 4 months. I took this, after I did accounting consulting, came back from the war, did all that good stuff, I became an IT project manager. So not only do I know numbers, I know computers. I dig technology, and I think everybody should use it. And so there's a lot of work that we have to do with BEP. But then I moved over to the Department of Consumer Affairs and did IT projects there for a year and a half. And then I got the opportunity to come back to BEP, well, to the Department of Rehabilitation, and take on this job. So here I am. And I hope that... I'm not quite sure if it's a curse watching you guys eat while I'm trying to talk, or if that's a good thing to keep you guys occupied. But as you know, in the 4 months, you've seen some changes, I hope, and hopefully for the better. I believe in teamwork. I don't think that I can be a good program manager without your assistance. I want our staff to work with you, understand what you do every day and how they do it. And the ultimate goal is for you to be successful. Yeah. You know, that is what I should strive for every day, and that's what I want my staff to strive for. If you're not successful, then neither are we. So it's going to take some time. I know that you guys have seen a lot, especially the ones who've 20 years, 30 years. How many managers have you guys gone through? 4? 5? 6? 5?
and how long you've been in the
Yeah. We can't count temporary ones. That's not authorized because I'm sure that's a lot. Since John Westbrook retired, it was at 9 months before I was hired for his position, so I'm sure there were a few temporaries in there, too. So, okay, I'm just watching the movement, sorry. So obviously, I believe in the foundation. You have to have a good foundation. You have to have good procedures, policies. Say again?
You need to move the mic.
Closer to my mouth?
Yeah, please.
Okay. How's that? How do you hear me now?
There you go.
Okay. So obviously, as a flight engineer, we had serious policies and procedures and rules and regulations and checklists that we had to follow, because if we didn't, we died. So I kind of like checklists and procedures. It kind of gives me a warm feeling to know that everybody's on the same page. And so when I looked at BEP and what the major issues that I saw was the foundation. Where is the foundation for staff, for vendors, for the community? You know, not only is it my responsibility to work with you, but I also have to work with every building manager out there. I should be working with the federal government, Department of General Services. Anybody that you touch and need the assistance because you're in that building, I should be working with you to make sure that we all are successful. And a good building manager can make or break one of these facilities. So I looked at that. I looked at, well, how do we do that? How do we ensure that everybody is on the same page? And I can't find it. So we have tons of rules, tons of regulations, tons of procedures, but are they being used every day? And that was one of my favorite things as an accounting consultant. I go, show me how you do this procedure. You've got it nicely written, but I don't see you doing it. So I noticed that immediately with my staff. And so we're going back to the basics. Our goal is to revamp the entire training program. And it's training for vendors and for my BECs. If they don't know more than you, then I'm not doing my job. So I'm going to have to play with a lot of money and move a lot of money around and have a good time with that, because I really enjoy playing with the money. But as you know, we didn't have a training class this year for starting in October. Or if you weren't aware of it, I'm breaking it to you now. There were only 4 eligible consumers. So we felt that instead of putting 4 vendors out there, that it would be better that we took that time and just tore apart the entire training program. So currently that's what Jennifer Benson, who's my acting assistant manager, and Bill Shira, and some we're getting input from vendors. And I'm actually going to have a meeting on the 30th. I'm not sure which day that is. Thursday with Boston Market. Where we're going to work on establishing a relationship with them to do it. Joni, stop it. Let me finish. Boston Market. Boston Market. So that we can see what they can do for us. What I'd like to see is not only them assisting us in internships with new vendors, but also with training of you vendors in new things, what's going on in the marketplace, trends, you know, the serious analysis that they do in order to stay in business all over the country. If we start doing that, then I really think that we then will be able to continue and move forward, and I don't have to go and look at a cafeteria that I'm pretty sure was built in the 1950s. another thing we wanted to try and get communication with Java City and also have internships there for individuals with coffee. We haven't figured out the vending machine process yet to who we could contact, but the ultimate goal is to have 7-Eleven, somebody who's inconvenienced across the country, work with our trainees and do continuing education with you so that you guys are always on the top and you know what's going on all the time and you can improve your location, and hopefully I won't be a hindrance to that. So that's the first major issue that we have. And also all of our business enterprise consultants will go through the exact same training. And they will be held accountable for ensuring that you are successful. Yes, ma'am, it will, and on a regular basis, if it kills me. but
or them.
Or them, yeah. So, but it's a two-way street also. You have to give of yourself to the blind enterprise consultant, and you have to be willing to work with them. Exactly. It's the same with working with me. You're not always going to agree with what I decide, but I'm going to give you data and back it up with rules, regulations, and ensure that I'm doing the best thing for this program. There won't be any I just decided to. You're going to actually be a part of the decision process in one form or another. You are going to be a part of the solutions, not a part of any problems. As you can see, probably in the last 2 to 3 months, I've requested numerous vendors assist in giving ideas, working on the web page. Poor Mike Hatch, I bug him all the time. Okay, guys, I need somebody because I don't think that any of us on the program's side should decide how you guys do your business. We should work together. I'm there to ensure that the businesses are successful, and I can't do that without you. So what does success mean to you? Okay. Well, we got Joni's. Exactly. Good customer service, enjoying going to work every day, having as much or as little money as you need to survive and which you enjoy, as long as it meets our minimum. I think you're going to see a lot of work on low-performing locations. I'm looking at all the money. Why aren't we successful in these locations? We're developing a actual worksheet, numerous worksheets to go through, so that if you're a good vendor, you're not paying for a unsuccessful location, because currently you are. If you're paying fees, there are individuals who aren't. And in those fees, we use those to provide health benefits, to provide maintenance, anything, purchases. And if someone isn't successful in a location, you're paying for that. And the bottom line is we need as much money in the set-aside fund as possible, because there's a lot of things we need to do. These locations, we need to look at how we do business, changing the atmosphere of the locations, working on our reputation, making people want to come to a location, to me, is big. I believe in marketing. I think that you get out there on the streets, you do what you can to make sure that a location is successful. Because we actually spend a lot of money training y'all. And we spend a lot of money making sure that you have the things, hopefully, that you need to run that business. And for you to fail means that we fail. And I'm not real good at failing. It just kind of bugs me. So we have to work all together, though. This isn't me. It's not you. It's everyone together is going to make a difference in this program. So when you think about complaining and you think about, well, we could have done this or could have done that, think about how do we solve the problem, not identifying the problem. And it feels like currently I'm working 24/7, but you can, and soon I will actually have a BlackBerry, so you can reach me 24/7. And I'm not afraid to give out that number, because if I'm not available for you, then I'm not available for the program. I don't have it yet. 3 o'clock. You know what? You probably have a better opportunity to call me at 3 o'clock in the morning and getting me than you will at 7 o'clock in the morning. Because if you all aren't aware, I'm not a morning person. So I coffee at Joni's was kind of the rule at about 8:30. So I really look forward to making this program very successful, have a lot of money. Vending machine commissions are up. I'm working really hard with our unit to actually send out letters and tell them we are now officially watching them. And we are going to start doing meter readings as a requirement in the contracts. You know, I see what you guys do on vending machines, and then I see the numbers that I get from those vending machine companies, and I'm not really impressed. And it will stop. Let's make that big. That's what I think. And if it's a good location, then why isn't a vendor actually running it? You know? So we are evaluating all of it. They wanted to do a flat rate, and I'm not there yet. I know you probably heard rumors of a flat rate. I felt that in order to determine if the flat rate was even reasonable, then I had to make sure we were actually getting commissions in. And since we weren't, I'm really working hard on actually getting commissions in. I'm no longer accepting 56.75% commissions because it's ridiculous. We don't even get 10% of the 56% by the time that they actually turn in money. And so let's get the good people who are honest, who are actually giving us a good bid that we know what we're going to get money from, instead of taking the highest bid. That was one of my first decisions in this program, and I actually had a vending machine company come to me and tell me that how wrong I was. And I smiled and told him, sorry, you don't get that contract, and he left. So I'm... Needless to say, I've had an entertaining 4 months. let's see, what else are we doing? Actually, what I need from you guys, if you think about it, is to send us your email address and anybody else so that we can start contacting you via email. You know, we have things that go on, and you know, I don't have time to actually sit down and write you a beautiful letter and send it via Braille at this time. Maybe in a couple of years. But we'd really, really like to be able to shoot you guys emails off and keep you informed about what's going on with the program. So at the end of this, I don't know, I might have to have Hazel help me out and share some of those emails. We're working on the web page. That's going to be awesome. I have the rules and regulations. The P&L is going to be on there. We're going to have vendor of the month. We're going to have an entire vendor section, you know, that one that will be attached to CVPC web page and ours, so that we're all are on the same page. we all have the same information and it's readily available. We'd like to be a link anytime rules and regulations change, give you a heads up on that, give you ideas on how one business is being successful. This is the steps that they took, giving you tips on this is the way the market is changing right now. Things that will assist you in being better, making more money, Joni. Okay. So I think there's like six. I don't know. Does anybody want the history of BEP on the BEP webpage? Which the good history? Okay. Right. Okay. Just checking. I thought about it and I was like, well, you know.
They have no idea.
Right. Okay, cool. And there's something that I forgot about the training program. Can you believe that? There's actually going to be prerequisites. That was easy for me to say. For blind vendors to get into the program. Instead of just that math test. Currently, new regulations have gone into place called self-employment regulations, and we're going to utilize the counselors to actually make individuals go through some business courses. They will have to be. Oh, sorry. Hazel, are you okay? Okay, so business courses, they will have to be computer literate, because ultimately my goal is to have that P&L actually done online via a portal. I haven't figured out how to pay for it yet, but we did get briefed. Luckily, at Consumer Affairs, I worked on an accounting project, and a woman gave me briefed us on how to do a web portal. Not us individually; they do it as a company, and you can pay via credit card, debit card, everything, form of payment right online. So that's my IT goal: is to have all payments done online. Yay. Well, and that's kind of the whole idea. I won't have to deal with a bad check again. or a missing check or anything like that.
That was Trump who said that, right?
Yeah. missing P&Ls, we could get rid of all that. So in Deb's, one of Deb's perfect worlds, it's to upgrade all of our IT stuff. So we're working with the information technology shop right now. I'm trying to figure out from an accounting standpoint, from an IT standpoint, where we can actually go with this. And then I've got to figure out how we're going to pay for it.
But,
oh, yeah. You will be all over it, Joni, by the time I'm done. Yes, sir.
I ask this question because my state agency, our client is the legislature, and they're almost demanding vendors. Really?
Well, yeah. So, are you considered a part of your PCC training, given that one of the primary complaints I hear is that they don't realize necessarily who their clients are? Having client services training in front of their components, so being in training, because I think that's very important. The state does offer a lot of that.
That's a great idea. So you want them to walk in your shoes. I like that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What about the idea of having a college develop a web, not a website, but what you were saying about various things that we can do through the computer, through the IT, and stuff like that.
Right.
Students would be able to help us develop a program like this.
Okay. Right. Okay. I'm getting all this in my head. So. Oh, yes, Dan.
Is it possible to, have you looked into the possibility of outsourcing accounting into the portal and having a company do it, and then have that calculated into the fee somehow, or subtract it from the fee, or do something with the vending, increased vending machine revenues or something,
right?
To pay, and then the outsourced vendor who's handling the portal will benefit from it, and DEP, the state will save the money.
You have to explain to me how that would all work.
It's a theory of outsourcing.
Oh, well, that's what I would do, is outsource, but they charge a fee.
But put it in the P&L, and it gets absorbed.
It's absorbed.
Exactly. But that's... But y'all have to agree to that.
That's
so, and like I said, I have to figure out how we're going to pay for it, and that'll be a decision that you will all get to decide. I have to give you options, because this is about your expenditures, not mine. So. But the problem with that is handling credit card charges. This is a serious operation. No, I learned a lot from consumer affairs, and every time you use your credit card on the what happens is I'll try to make it brief, but it goes to a big bank, and then it goes out to Visa and MasterCard, Discover, American Express, whichever. Then it goes back to the big bank. Then it goes back to your bank if they approve it. That's just to get approved. Then, once that's done, it goes back to the big bank, back down to the Visas, and then you finally actually get paid as a vendor. Okay? That's any of them. PayPal, yes. Anytime you use your credit card, that's what has to happen. Yes. And by the time you actually get paid, it takes 48 hours before it goes into your bank as a vendor. So that couldn't work. Yes, ma'am. Joni?
I have a question about when somebody's located in a small
Yes. We will look at all of the options, Joni, not just one. Well, vending machines might work in one place. Combining locations might work in another. You can't look at just one solution. You have to look at all of them. I cannot guarantee that, Joni. This is about set aside fees and ensuring that we actually have money to support this program. Yes, Sandy.
Closing a location would be the last resort.
Yes, sir. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, I just went to Merced, and the whole goal, and we had advised them that we were going to have to close that location in Merced at a health services, a county health services location. And, you know, the bottom line is, and I told the building management who was going to file a grievance against me for closing the place, I have to look out for the vendor. I don't want somebody, going into debt, owing everybody and their brother money, and then us trying to get money from them. And, you know, it's ridiculous. If it's not a success, I know what happens. You quit paying your BOE, you quit paying the rehab, you quit, you know, and the next thing you know, you're so far in debt that you can't be saved. And I do not ever want to see that happen again. And if it means closing a location, I will close that location. Yes, ma'am.
I have one comment. Just had a national meeting recently. They were talking about this very issue, and that a lot of state agencies and county agencies think of the Randolph Shepard Act as a benefit for their employees.
Yes.
So they want cheap prices, you know, everything has to be cheap, cheap, cheap for them, without caring for the blind vendor or even the Randolph Shepard program that's being operated by that state. And I think this is something that has happened over the last 25 years, where they talk to each other and, hey, you know, we have the program, the BEC program, and they will have cheaper pricing, you know, they will have cheaper labor. They have to, you know, to have the cheaper pricing. And that's not the purpose or intent of the Randolph Shepard Act. And I think California DEP SLA should convey that to building managers, that we are not a benefit for state employees.
But the vendor also has to be a team advising them of that.
Yes.
Okay. If we've allowed that to happen, it takes a group to allow that to happen. And until the group stands up and says, look, I have to make a living. I have to make sure my vendors make a living.
And the program has to survive.
Exactly. So that's, again, building a reputation and ensuring and putting a face to this program instead of, well, they have priority. It's actually putting faces, you know, so that unfortunately everybody will know my name in this program, and everybody in building management will know my name. But that's what it takes, and it takes all of us to make sure that we are successful and we get the message out that we are business people. So, you know, it's a lot of change, but I think it's going to be a successful change. Yes, Jean.
Will there be anything done about the locations that are built by other entities that are extremely labor intensive, with maybe 800 or 1,000 people?
Just stop that already. And in fact, I saw a plan for health services in Sacramento, and it's just outrageous. But elegant. you know, a salad bar, all this stuff, and it's like, no, that salad bar's got to go. This has got to be moved over here. Let's make a line so that we only need 3 to 4 people. So we're doing the numbers now, and based on population, based on the estimated expenditure of the population, how much food cost can there be for us to make the $3,200 mark in income? We won't even open a facility anymore without doing the numbers. I don't care how pretty it looks. And if
they said, "Gee, you're gonna go down and look at the place."
Yes, I do. Yeah. Unfortunately, there's a location that I didn't get to look at before it got started, but my fingers are crossed on that one. I think we might be in the same situation, but I'm close now, and luckily it's in Sacramento, so I can babysit it for a while.
It's 1 o'clock, oh. So let's ask a few more questions, then we'll have to wrap up.
Tom Linker has a question.
Yeah,
thank you.
I know. I should have told you sooner, Tom, that I saw your hand, and I'll get to you. But I like seeing your hand up like that.
Yeah. The question I have, listening to Hazel's question about the last JVC meeting about the parks regarding the internal things that happen in the various state buildings that we're in, such as coffee sales, hot water sales, cakewalks, barbecues, and you name it, they do it all.
Actually, in all of our permits now with those agencies, there's a two times a year they're authorized to have a food sale, and that's it. And if we see anything that they're doing, we advise the building manager and we go after them. We're doing really good at making sure that they quit that. We're trying to upgrade all of our vendor permits with the building permits with those locations to have it stop. I know I saw at EDD the other day, there's a nice little taco sale sign and I almost went through the roof, but you know. I know. Exactly. One location at a time, Joni. unfortunately, my plate has been so full that I have not had a lot of opportunity to get down and get dirty with building managers and everything that I know needs to be done. I obviously have some staffing issues and that are a priority. Hiring an assistant manager is huge. So hopefully we can get that done soon so that I don't have to work 80, 90 hours a week because I'm getting tired.
Okay, guys, let's have another question for Deb.
Okay, Deb, we're glad to have you today, and you explain us about the BEP program. We look forward to be successful, to pay less. How are you going to work to bring more money from Vending Machine Commission so the vendors pay less medical medical bill, because we used to pay a long, long time ago. We used to pay $10. Now we're paying $92 a month. So what step you have to take to bring more vending machine commission so we keep $92, not to go to $200 a month on each vendor the bill? Thank you.
You're welcome. All I can tell you at this point is that I'm putting stricter rules into the contracts with vending machine commissions. Again, the beginning step is meter readings. The next step is continual monitoring every month. If somebody doesn't pay, they'll get a letter of notification. If it happens three times, I'm going to cancel their contract. I'm tired of not getting payments for 6 months a year, and no more excuses. You know, they have a lot of excuses, and you know, you guys go in there, and the next thing you know, I'm getting $10,000 from you. You know, so it's got to stop, and we have to concentrate on monitoring it. I do have hopefully some good news regarding expenditures. The big question when I first got here was workers' comp, and that there was almost $3 million in workers' comp because we're self-insured. My financial guru economist that I steal and borrow from at the department, we ran some numbers and got 20 years worth of numbers. And the most in 1 year of expenditures was $657,000. At $3 million, that's unrealistic. We're hoping to drop it down to $1.7 million. So in order to do that, we would actually decrease your workers' comp fees. I'm hoping to cut them in half. To get it down to where we keep $1.7 million and actually start monitoring expenditures, imagine that, so that we know if we do have to raise it or not. You know, not some wild guess, not somebody telling us yada, yada, yada. It's from now on, we are going to know the numbers of this program. I think that's the key to being successful.
Where were you a few years ago?
I was at the Department of Rehabilitation. I was an accounting consultant, and then I was playing in the war.
Oh, I understand where you were, but why weren't you with us? It sounds great. It sounds great. How about some more questions? Yes.
Oh, Tom.
Yeah, Tom. I have one, actually.
Oh, okay.
I work and have worked for many, many years, and although I don't want to say this because it might cost me more for my sodas, but I've worked in a lease building for many, many years, and every 10 or 15 years, the department makes some, you know, small little shriek about going out and doing something about getting all the vending machines, and nothing ever happens. It seems to me there's really a lot of vending machines that the department could be going after. Because there's a lot of state agencies that have vending machines in leased buildings.
That is a true statement, sir. I can tell you that Joanne Fleming has become a pit bull. And she looks, if the building even kind of resembles a state or federal building, she is going in. We were actually yesterday at the VA hospital counting vending machines in Fresno. We were at the IRS building. We went to a couple of different state places in Fresno, and she wrote down everything she could about how many vending machines, what's this, are we getting a commission on that? So you have an individual who is definitely looking out for us. So.
Well, Joni knows where I work, so she can report me. But
you know, is some staff find it refreshing that we're actually going to take action and you know, determine, you know, that I don't want individuals who are poor. I look at how much I make doing my job, and if you're not making at least that, then I'm not doing my job. So,
Is Joanne the pit bull? Does she wear lipstick?
Yes. Yes, she does. yes, Andy.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Deb, but on that note, on our last meeting, didn't you tell us that our vending machine commissions are up by, if I'm not mistaken, about 20 to 25%?
Yes.
That's just in the last 4 months since Deb's been there. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm going to put you on the spot. Here's my question.
Oh, so were you saying good job there, and now you're going to crush me, Andy? What's up?
In 2006 and in 2007, we had educational conferences, and they were canceled in 2008 due to budget constraints.
Correct.
Are we going to have one in 2009?
You know what? The goal is yes.
Okay, the goal is yes.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah, there is no crazy spending anymore from my staff. I look at every purchase order. If we've got it somewhere, I'm shipping it to them. I am not going to pay $500 for a toaster. I am not going to pay.
Yay!
You know, don't even get me started on some of these. $135 for a plastic chair. No. Okay.
I have a question to ask. What and when are we going to move into the military situation? Sincerely.
I'm not sure I understand the question.
There are all kinds of military installations out there that is, because of the Randolph-Shepard priority, has the vendor has the right to be able to bid for them. And
did I tell you about that pit bull I have? She actually looks on the Fed website every day now. So any announcements?
Okay, how about input? Do we give the input to her that we have?
Sure. Joanne Fleming. 5585356.
I have her number. Number okay. One sounds like.
Yeah, she is my new location's staff person. So she is all over it.
Okay.
All right. I think that'll probably do it. That's all we have. Deb, thank you very much.
Oh, Deb, in honor of your visit, we want to give you just a small gift for...
It's not over $10, is it?
No.
Okay, good. Because I can't accept the gift, you know. I'm a state employee, so...
It's okay. It's for your speaking here today on your own time.
Yes.
And we appreciate it. Yes. We really, really, really do. Thanks.
My pleasure. Hopefully we have more meetings that we'll get to talk. So,
all right. Are we all through? And Anthony standing. Do you have a question? Anybody else have a question? No questions? Since Hillary is out of the, and everybody knows I've been a Hillary fan for 5 or 6 years. I belong to Friends of Hillary because I wanted to see a woman president in my lifetime, but not the one that's a heartbeat away right now. I thank you as a woman for stepping up into this difficult program, and congratulations.
Thank you. Don't need it.
Here, dear.
Bring up
in Sacramento. Yeah. Listen. Oh, also, how about the sagebrush? We forgot to mention that, Hazel.
The CVPC meetings, the 12th and 13th?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. See, in Sacramento.
Sacramento.
Yeah, CVPC's the 12th and 13th of November in Sacramento. And then comes the sagebrush. While the NCSAB, are you going to that?
19th, 20th, and 21st.
Yes, 19th, 20th. Oh, good. Okay, 19th, 20th, and 21st. You can call Roy or David. It's in San Diego, I think, at the Sheraton. They changed it this year. They changed it, so you could check. And then we have Christmas, and then comes the Sagebrush in Las Vegas, February 2nd through 5th. They're condensing it, but making it more intense. So you got to move. But the Sagebrush will be good in Las Vegas, and then what? Blast is in Indianapolis in April. Remember, Tom, I stood up and advertised for Blast. And I think
how about
the Washington D.C. Trip, legislative trip that Roy and I, and I think David's going this year, and lots of others, the last week of February. And we go to Washington, D.C. Foster, maybe you can join us. We go to Washington, D.C., and it's wonderful. And we really do know, well, we know personally Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer, but their aides do set up for us. And last year, Roy and David and I got into Nancy Pelosi's office.
Oh, cool.
I mean, not many people get into Nancy Pelosi's office, the Speaker of the House. So, No. But it's doing the national legislative thing is just really exciting and a lot of fun. So if you're interested in any of that, let us know. It's very educational. And I think that's basically it. But thank you very much, Deb Meyer, for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.